Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface here at the MTS Center. Welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined up in the press box by my colleague Ezra Ginsberg and producer Michael Remus. Winnipeg Jets were just defeated this evening by a 4-1 margin to the Minnesota Wild in the Jets' third home exhibition game of the season here on home ice, their fourth overall. They fall to one win, two losses, and one shootout loss in those four games. You know, as much as we've said over the last number of podcasts that the result doesn't matter and, you know, it's exhibition and not to read too much into it, I think if you look at the Jets roster versus the roster that the Minnesota Wild iced here in Winnipeg, you can't help but be disappointed with the effort that the Jets put forth, because this is the roster they played with tonight is largely a roster that they're going to come up with during the regular season when it starts Tuesday, October 1st in Edmonton.
Right, and you can say that the games don't matter all you want, but the reality is the Minnesota Wild outworked the Winnipeg Jets in the second and third periods.
Yeah.
We were on with Rick Ralph during the first period intermission, and we basically said that even though the Jets were outshot 12-7, they were looking pretty good. In the second and third periods, they weren't looking that good.
No,
and they were outworked. They were outshot badly in the second period. The third period, they turned it around a little bit. But their effort level, especially in that second period, was not good. And that's the type of thing that you're looking for, especially when you're considering players that are on the bubble right now. I mean, if you're a Patrice Cormier, you're an Ivan Telegin, players like that, guys that will probably play in the AHL, those are the types of performances that the coach thinks about.
Yeah.
And Mark Scheifele, I thought, was pretty good tonight. He was engaged, as was Evander Kane.
Yeah.
Say what you want about the score tonight. Evander Kane, was fired up there. He was taken into the net by Stephen Kampfer early in the third period, and he wasn't happy about it. And you could tell he was running around the ice trying to get things going for his teammates. And to be honest with you, there weren't too many guys on the Jets tonight that were that engaged. I thought that, you know, early on, the line of Ladd, Little, Wheeler was okay. They got the first period goal. But then they started to move things around, and you couldn't really tell who was playing with who. James Wright was on, I think, all four lines tonight, and that's another guy that I thought stood out for me. But aside from maybe Wright, Kane, and Scheifele, there weren't that many standout performances for the Jets tonight.
And you know, they want, if you are a young player, you want to make it hard on the team to send you back to the AHL or send you back to to juniors. And you mentioned Ivan Telegin. I mean, as far as I could tell, he was pretty much invisible in this game. I don't know what his ice time ended up being when all is said and done. Just under 10 minutes. And, I mean, this is an exhibition game. So if you can't get on the ice for more than 8.5 minutes in an exhibition game, it doesn't really bode well with your chances of making this team. Now, I'm not saying that he really is expected to make this team. But him and Cormier, these are guys who just didn't stand out at all. They didn't do anything to make it difficult on Claude Noel to try and keep them around for any longer. That fourth line for the Jets, I mean, and I know they shuffled the lines, but that was relatively invisible. Anthony Peluso, you noticed him a little bit. He, came to Mark Scheifele's defense when Scheifele got hit with a dirty shot to the head. But other than that, it was just sort of, the fringe guys didn't stand out by any stretch of the imagination.
Drew, when you're talking about players like Ivan Telegin and Patrice Cormier, those are players that are going to have to beat out players like Matt Halaschuk.
Yeah.
They're going to have to beat out players like James Wright.
Halaschuk and Wright both played better tonight.
Right, and they didn't do anything to show Claude Noel that they should be on this team, and that's really what the preseason is about. There's going to be players that no matter what happens, I mean, the Jets could go 0-8 in the preseason, and Evander Kane is going to be the second-line left winger.
Right.
Same thing goes for Ladd, Little, and Wheeler and other players on this team. But Patrice Cormier is a guy who at 24 years old now, time is running out with other prospects coming into the system. And, a game like this, even though it's the fourth preseason game, it leaves a lot to be desired. You're losing 3-1 to a team that doesn't have Zach Parise, mm-hmm. that doesn't have Ryan Suter, that doesn't have all of these other star players, Mikko Koivu. So
yeah,
tonight wasn't the most impressive game for the Winnipeg Jets. Tuesday night was a lot more impressive. They picked up their first win, obviously, against the Edmonton Oilers. But tonight, against a Minnesota Wild team that was not only using players who played in the AHL last year, when you're talking about like Kyle Medved, he actually played in the ECHL last year. I mean, they weren't icing an A roster or B roster. That was their C squad roster. So it was a disappointing game. And you don't want to, you know, read too much into it, obviously. But these games do matter. I mean, Claude Noel, after watching this game, him, Charlie Huddy, the coaching staff, they're not happy with the performance. And that's why they got to get better for Saturday's game against the Wild.
That's right. When they're back in Minnesota for Saturday's rematch between these two teams. Based on what you've seen so far, is it Mark Scheifele that's going to be centering Evander Kane and Devin Setoguchi, or is it going to be Jokinen?
This is the debate we're going to have all year, Drew.
Yeah.
We're going to be having this debate
but
all year.
But to start the season, based on what you've seen through four exhibition games, if the season was to start on Saturday, who is going to be playing that second-line center role?
I would think it would be Jokinen.
Really? And I would think it would be Scheifele, because Jokinen was invisible tonight. Did he play?
Jokinen didn't play well.
I know he played, but he didn't do anything.
Jokinen didn't play well. And there have been spurts, Drew, where Mark Scheifele and Evander Kane have played well together.
Yeah.
They've yet to score a goal directly off of each other. But I would say that it would be Jokinen, just because I still think that they're going to want to ease Mark Scheifele into that second line role, because not only is it your line mates and how well you're able to gel offensively, it's also your defensive responsibilities. I still think Mark Scheifele is going to take a little while to learn the NHL game, but this is the debate we're going to be having all year.
Aren't you neutering any impact that Kane and Setoguchi are going to have if you put Jokinen with them? And, I mean, there's been no signs of, and there weren't any signs of any chemistry between Kane and Jokinen last season. And through four games today, this in the preseason, there's no signs of any chemistry between the three of those guys. I just think, you know, what impact is Jokinen going to have on the second line center role that, you know, that means he deserves it right now? He's had no impact at all for going on over a year now. Why not put him on the third line, let him be defensively responsible, and give Scheifele that opportunity up in the second line?
And I think you are going to see that. I just think you're not going to see the second and third lines the same from night to night. And by the way, what was interesting, I noted this to you, as soon as the second period came around and the game started to get a little bit slow, let's call it that, and for the rest of the game, you saw James Wright move from the left side and actually go up to the right wing position on the second line with Scheifele and Kane, and then James Wright went up to the top line. I mean, in the preseason, you're going to see a bunch of line matching, but the point I'm trying to make is I think you're going to see different guys on, not only at center on the first two lines, I think you're going to see different guys on right wing, left wing. Halaschuk is a guy that can play both sides of the wing. Wright can play both sides of center. And it's not going to be a situation where, aside from the first line and maybe Evander Kane, I don't think the forward lines are set at all. Obviously, you know that guys like Peluso and Slater are most likely going to be on the fourth line. Sure. But what I'm trying to say is I think you have a lot of versatility, but until a line meshes well. And what I saw tonight was, only with the exception of a few players, a consistent effort. Tonight was, again, a preseason game. We keep, you know, hammering that home. But you still want to see a little bit more of an effort level from certain players. And at times, you know, especially there in the second period, I thought the Jets were badly outplayed, badly outshot. And I didn't really like the way they were playing as a group. Now, different story. I actually thought that the defense and goaltending wasn't bad.
Well, before we wrap up this podcast, let's talk about the defense. Start with Josh Morrissey. He played his first home game for the Jets on home ice here at the MTS Center. You know, and I know he wasn't going against a real NHL lineup, but I thought he didn't look out of place. I was impressed with what he brought to the table today for the Winnipeg Jets.
I thought Josh Morrissey played a really good game as well, Drew. And, you know, it was really a situation tonight where you saw, I think, who is going to be the number one pair for the defense for the Jets this year. I do think it's going to be Bogo and Enstrom, and I don't think that they're going to keep that pair together at even strength as much. You're going to see them together, just so you know, the listeners know that I'm not nuts here. They'll play together on the power play.
They know you're nuts.
They'll play together on the power play because, I mean, they work so well. Enstrom feeds Buff for the big shot over and over again. But I think you got to mix those guys up because I don't think even strength, they complement each other well. I think you need Bogo with Enstrom, and that's, you got two fantastic skaters there. Plus, Bogo's more physical. Enstrom isn't left-right shooter, all that. But I thought Morrissey was good, Drew. I mean, you're looking at a small sample size here. He's played a few NHL games. He's going to go back to Prince Albert. But, yeah, he looked pretty good.
How many
good.
More games
he
does
did,
he get?
He might get one more. He might get two more. He might get no more. I mean, the Jets will be sending some players back within the next, you'd have to imagine, couple days maybe.
Sure, either before, right before, either tomorrow before they head to Minnesota, right, or right when they come back from Minnesota, right, before they head to Edmonton.
Right. I didn't think Zach Redmond had his strongest game. He was
he lost the guy on the back check that, yes, led to the Wilds. Was that their first goal?
I believe that was the second goal. The first goal, that's right, was the scramble in front of the net that, yeah, Dumba's goal. But on Charlie Coyle's goal, yeah, Redmond,
Coyle was his responsibility. Right. He lost his check in front of the net.
Right. And but again, you know, I'm a big fan of Zach Redmond's game, but on tonight's
But he's on a two-way contract, good, so he's really in tough to make this team straight out of the training camp.
Yep, he's one of those guys that's probably going to split time between St. John's and the Jets this year.
Yeah,
he did have the injury, so we have to cut him some slack because he didn't get a full season, sure, last year. So I'm sure he does figure into the future of this team, absolutely.
Last guy to discuss, Adam Pardew. What do you think of his game today?
I mean, he's
battling for that, you know, probably that seventh defenseman
he's
spot
still
with
battling
Ian
the
White
puck. He's still, yeah, that's right.
Paul Postma.
He's still battling with the puck a little bit. He was paired up with Redmond there on the bottom pairing. And, you know, Adam Pardew, when he's making the simple plays, making the first pass, getting out of his zone, using his body, being physical, you know, jumping in when he needs to, that's when he's at his best. And tonight he was fighting the puck a little bit there with Redmond. You know, he's a guy that he'll be fine.
There you have it. That's it for us in the Illegal Curve post-game podcast here live from the press box high above the ice at MTS Center. Again, the Minnesota Wild defeat the Winnipeg Jets by a 4-1 margin. Both teams next in action Saturday night in St. Paul, Minnesota, the Xcel Energy Center, where the Jets return the favor and they will visit the Minnesota Wild. We'll next be with you a week from tonight, Thursday night, as the Winnipeg Jets wrap up their home exhibition portion of the schedule as they take on the Boston Bruins. Until then, you can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website is, of course, www.illegalcurve.com. For Ezra Ginsberg, for producer Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.